Well, guys and gals, we're going to go ahead and get started. I usually put a stack of those back there and I'll stack up here, but I usually have a handout. I know some of you and I've just met a few of you today, but I'm an old teacher. So, as you can well guess, you've got stuff to fill out today. And we'll see how you behave depending on homework. So, no, there won't be any homework. But anyway, I'm Scott, and Cruzy, and my wife Teresa is out at the welcoming desk right now. She may slide in here in a little bit after she does some welcoming. And what I'd like to do to start with is have you folks introduce yourself to each other. You probably know each other better than I know you, or at least some of you, because you're hanging out in the same parts of the church and nurseries to wherever. But Mike Rassi is going to be teaching this class with me. His wife Carmen is back here. Carmen, you want to talk about, you just want to introduce yourself and how about your kids and their ages? So you kind of, and I'll know too. So go ahead, Carmen. I'll start with you back there.
We have four kids. They are 20, 18, 16, and 13. So a little bit of everything right now, college, high school, and junior high. So
great, great. I'll just, we'll kind of work our way.
I'm Karen Garvin. We have one 11-year-old and my 11-year-old.
My name is Aaron Evans. We have a 8-year-old, 7-year-old, 3-year-old, and then one due in about 4 weeks.
Wow, wow. Great, great. You're busy.
Yeah, very busy at our house.
Go ahead, guys.
Brad and Bella Quick.
Eight-month-old
Evie, and another one
due
in February.
Yeah, yeah, great, great. Go ahead.
John and Mara Kiefer, and we got Casey, he's 5, and Alan is 2, and another one on the way.
Great, great. Multiplying.
I'm Marie Collins, and we have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and almost 2-year-old.
Great. Go ahead,
Paul. I'm Carrie Wilderman. We have 10-year-old, almost 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old.
Brian and Amber Mitchell, we have a 15-year-old, a few months away from having a driver, and a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I was just talking to them, and Brian and Amber should still be in class with me. But, again, I'm Scott. We've got 3 adult children. Oldest is Nick, and he is 37. Is that possible? Matt is 34. Nick lives in Nashville, and Matt and family, we're going to go visit here this evening. And Nick's got 2, and Matt just had their 3rd in Austin, Texas. And Kaylee, without children yet, but I think that's coming pretty soon. Her and her husband live in Louisville. So anyway, we'll get to know each other a little more as these days progress. But thanks for coming. I will just tell you this, and before we get started, we've been to Newcastle since 93. I became a Christian at Newcastle in 93. And if you're figuring numbers, Nick was 3 years old. And I just talked to his first Sunday school teacher, just walked out of here. She usually sits behind me first service when I'm in first service. But anyway, it's been a great place to raise kids. And nothing perfect about this place at all. Well, except Jesus. But my daughter-in-law sent a picture the other day of our newest grandson, and she said, he's perfect. And I said, well, the first perfect baby in 2,000 years. I think what you're going to get out of this class is some good theology and also some good practical stuff. Probably a lot of theology early in the first lesson or two, but if our practical day-to-day parenting does not follow our theology, we're in trouble. And let me get started in that sense. And you've got a handout before you. And as you can see, the first lesson is God's purpose for the family. And I don't know if you got a pen or pencil. There might be some back there if you want one. There's a couple here if anybody wants one. But what I'd like you to do first is at top of that sheet somewhere, just write down what you think is one of God's purposes for the family. We're not grading these, so we're just getting you thinking here a little bit, stimulating, and we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to throw four of those at you that I've come about, and there's obviously a lot more, and you're writing them down right now. But what would be God's purpose for children and a family and so forth? And just think for a second and write something down. And moms, if they're different than dads, that's fine too. Quite frankly, we're going to be working through a curriculum from Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C. That's kind of a format, also using other resources. One that I like to use is a trip resource. You can pick one of these up out in the... This is very good. I wish I had had this 30 years ago. 40 years ago, but I and Ted Tripp's got a great book too. I haven't read, looked at it a little bit, but and there's some other stuff we'll do. Hopefully, somewhere we're going to bring some other parents in here to just give some of their opinions and welcome your opinions, your thoughts. That's kind of what we're looking at. One thing that I like to do is find out, where our students are theologically, just so I know how to go. I know today's going to be kind of, I'm hoping I know where you're at, but so let me just throw a question at you. Probably some of you have heard this question, you may know the answer, but what do John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh have in common? You think this is a funny question? This is serious. No, I'm just joking, Brad, you know that, but... any thoughts on that one?
They both ate honey.
They love honey. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Well, we've got some sharp people in here. I may have to upgrade this a little bit. I'm going to have to do a lot of research just to upgrade it. But there is another point. They share the same middle name, right? So anyway... some of you dads, you're looking for the next dad joke, you got it. This is my wife, Teresa. She's heard that one about 100 times, so good thing you missed that one. Maybe I should ask her. I don't know. But hope to enjoy this stuff with you. As we go through here, you can fill in some blanks. If you don't have to fill in blanks, if you don't want to, but probably a lot of these blanks you're going to know. But God made man and women in his own image. But you know what he did next? And you can open up to Genesis 1 if you want to. What did God do after he made man? You know, I didn't really see this till about 3 or 4 years ago, and I thought it was significant. In fact, it was Paul Tripp that pointed this out to me. I don't know Paul Tripp personally. You may, Paul, I don't know.
Not really.
But
he blessed them?
He did bless them and told them to... Yeah. But he talked to them, didn't he? And the significance of that is God is still talking to us today. And we've got to value that. And so we're going to be getting into the Bible. But my kids know I'm teaching parenthood, and I told them I'd like to hear from them what we did right and what we did wrong, because there's plenty we did wrong, but or could have done better. But it's interesting. The only thing I've gotten back from them, I really haven't put that question out to them directly. I've just said something to them. But my daughter sent this to me 2 days ago, and I got to tell you, quite frankly, in studying, preparing this, I've been convicted of a lot of things we could have done better, and. So I really kind of needed to hear this. But she sent me this screenshot, and you may not be able to see it back there, but it says, "The most important thing about parenting teens is not making sure they follow God. It's making sure you follow God." So I hope you came in here for yourself, because the closer you are to God, the closer they're going to be to God. But then she sent this text. "I saw you and Mom doing Bible time growing up, so I wanted to do Bible time." I didn't know that. Did you know that, Teresa? I didn't know that. I haven't talked to her since. I just sent her a face with hearts. And my question would be, well, you weren't up that early. Come on now. But you as well know, we'll talk more about this. You know, caught more than taught is huge, but our words and our actions matching. But anyway, let's go back to here. What did God say to first man and woman? He said, "Be fruitful, multiply," or some, depending on your. And even thinking about this a little bit, if God commands us to go forth and multiply. You could say that if I'm married, I ought to have children. He wants me to have children. And he loves that you have children. And everybody in here does have children. But that's not obviously all the case in our world and these days. But why would he do that? Thoughts on that? Why would he say that? Why would he want us to multiply?
Legacy. And if we're supposed to be stewards of the world, then we need to have people to pass that on to.
Yeah. He's got work for us. Probably the most important work is to image him. And more imagers to start with, but then more to steward that imaging. Exactly right, is what I think most theologians would say. But here's the deal. Sin mars our family portraits and our ability to image God. I think you know that. My family might be a portrait of something, but it's not God. Family is messy. You don't have to raise your hand or put an amen on that, but we've been through some tough stuff with children, and if you haven't, you will. But I just want to tell you this regarding this class. Perfect parents need not attend, and don't pretend that you are perfect, okay? You don't have to. If you messed up, you want to talk about that, you'd help. Maybe someone here can help in that situation. You might be able to help them. But we're not. Mike Rassi is not a perfect parent, all right?
No, I am not. I'm here to be an object lesson.
But Mike and I have already talked about that, but just be aware of that, and you may be convicted like I've been in some areas, and that's good. God's convicting you of some things that we can, you know, do a better job of. He has me. I've got to go do some grandparenting later today. Well, I'll fly into Austin later tonight, but tomorrow it'll start, and talk more about that. So before we get into anything else, let me just finish with this. So we will need the grace of God. Does anybody know 1 John 1, 8, and 9? Or a semblance of that? It says that If Teresa sins, she confesses her sin. God is faithful to forgive her sin, basically. And I co-taught a couple years ago with a guy that he kind of finished class with this, you know. And we used to joke with Pastor Summers that, man, you stepped on my shoes today. Scuffed them all up, made me feel, but he said, well, I thought I did a little shining up too. But you're probably going to get convicted some here. And we all will be, okay? Titus 2, 11 and 12. Does someone get their Bible with? But I want to open that up. I saw this a few years ago, and I call it grace training now. But if someone would want to read that out loud for us, that'd be great.
The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in the present age.
Yeah. Grace has appeared, training us. And I don't know how you see that in a practical sense, but here's my sense. When I keep the cross before me and I understand just how much of a sinner I was, still got some sin, how much help I need, but I got a God and His grace that comes before me that trains me to say, I'm going to follow this God today. Particularly in the hard stuff, I'm going to remember the cross. Might be some other thoughts on that, but then I'm going to need his help. But you're going to hear that word grace quite a bit in here, and a lot of times we think of it as salvation, and that's true. But it has its sanctifying work too in growing us in better parents, better godly parents, and. So keep the cross before you. Just please do. Please do. I've got to. And I think as it does, it will train us. It will train you and so forth. But so we get to that question, what is God's purpose for the family? Who's got the right answer? Somebody have an answer that want to throw at us? Any thoughts?
God's purpose for the family is for mankind to multiply and flourish and for disciples to be made.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. No doubt about it. Who is? I mean, that's pretty comprehensive. Someone else have something else on there?
I'm supposed to be a foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. And he decides to make families for that foundation of, yeah. What else do you have out there? Anything?
Glorifying.
What was that again, Harmon?
Sanctification.
Sanctification. They'll help sanctify us? Oh, man. Thought I was there already. We'll talk about that to finish up today. They do, don't they? Yeah. Anything else? That's a good list, or maybe you got some of the same things down, but...
Enjoyment.
Enjoyment, yeah. He wants us to enjoy our kids. Yeah. No, and our grandkids. Do we have any other grandkids? We don't have any other grandparents, do we? I invited a few grandparents. But so with that in mind, let me throw four that you kind of spoken to. And a couple, maybe a little more theology. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these first two. But three and four you've talked about, you've mentioned. And we're going to spend a little time today. And quite frankly, this class is going to spend a lot of time on those things. So anyway, how about this? It's more theology. But parenthood reflects God's fatherly care for his children. And so if you read the Bible, you and I both know father, son, children, it's all over there, isn't it? And it's interesting to me as I've thought about this, we talk about a church family, don't we? But family is such a, I think one of the authors talked about it being a divine metaphor, but the comparisons are really, really interesting to me, and we'll talk about that. I would say in a lot of senses, our God and how he fathers his children is a pretty good pattern for us in fathering our children or mothering our children, okay? And just keep that before you. You're going to see probably a lot of that as we go through here. How about these verses? These are just some of many. Say, Father shows compassion to his children. Or you throw mother on there. So the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. How you doing with that, dads? With your compassion. Have I convicted you already? I was convicted on this one. I got a 3-year-old grandson. So 2 months ago we were down there. There was at least one time I did not have a lot of compassion. Yeah. How about this one? Zephyr, my dear son, is he my darling child? Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. How am I doing with that one? Now, Scott, how are you doing with this mercy thing? Or Scott, how did you do with this mercy thing? Yeah. And then this one. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, you are clay, and you are the potter. Remember not iniquity forever. Surely you don't take their little sins and carry it to the next day, do you? I can do that. So I got some work to do as a grandfather. But it is interesting, and we'll get into a lot of this and how and so forth and so on. But just a few things to start that in light of this divine metaphor is our parenting reflecting God's fatherly care in the areas of compassion, mercy, remembering iniquity. And there's, you could add a whole lot of, those are just three examples. But it's interesting to me, as we and you will read the Bible ahead, that there is such an interesting metaphor there. How about this? Parenthood reflects our adoption in the gospel. Now, we're going to be more specific now as we're talking about the gospel. And we are adopted as sons, as it says in a number of verses. Probably you start with the cross. But do all who did receive him, you know, the cross, Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I would guess that, my guess is most of you would die for your kids. And, but that's love, isn't it? That's love. Now, what will I do today in sacrifice? Maybe that's more the challenge. Because, you know, the Cardinals are on today. Et cetera, et cetera. Anyway. By the way, do we have some Cub fans in here? See, they still need some sanctification, so we'll work on that. But anyway, how about this one? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are a son, God has sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's all over, isn't it? All over there. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You're an heir. Son. And how do we see our sons and daughters? But it got me thinking. I just throw this question out. Or he calls you a son. What does that do for your heart? And God calls you son. Thoughts? I mean, if I come up here and I say, how you doing? Now I say, how you doing, Brian? He gets a little more smile on his face. But if I were to say, hi, son, but I think that's what we got to keep the cross before us. And how do our sons and daughters, you know, in relative to that, they are given to us as gifts. And so anyway, just keeping that before you. How about this one? It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Again, we got sons all over there. Kind of like that, Brian. Kind of like that, but now you got to go to the principal's office. By the way, Brian's mom was our secretary at the high school for all the years I was at DMAC High School, so you probably spent a lot of time in the principal's office, didn't you? But
I feel like it was worse for me than others.
Man, if I know him that, every time you got... Nah, he never got in trouble. It wasn't Amber either. But do we accept his discipline? And really, it's a means of, are we legitimate or illegitimate? So, Carmen, you had to bring it up, I believe, that we're going to be sanctified. And sometimes he uses discipline to do that. Does with me. But am I going to respond? And then, is that a pattern with how I discipline my own children, my grandchildren? And I work with FCA. I primarily work with coaches anymore. And coach, how are you disciplining your kids? You're a believer. Are you disciplining for their good? We'll look at this scripture, the whole entirety of it here later in discipline. But or is that for your good? This would be a lot easier if you just, for me. Or my team would look a whole lot better if you played with a little more discipline. Or you did what I told you to do. And but get you thinking about, who's that discipline for? And am I speaking truth in love? And because it says also in here that I love the ones I discipline. And so anyway, just some thoughts. We'll get into some of this a little bit later, but just throwing a little initial theology at you. But quote from J.I. Packer, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as a father. Yeah. How about this one? This one, Brad, speaking of discipling your children. It is a calling from God. I appreciate you thinking about that a little bit. One of the videos that I show, it's a short video, and we talk a lot about it with coaches, is that, coach, you're a Christian. If you are a Christian, anyway, and we've already come to understand that you are, then you are called to ministry. If you're a Christian, you are called to ministry. Not just at your church, hopefully at your church as well, but you've got ministry coming your way every day. If you're a coach, it might be at 3 p.m. If you're a teacher and a coach, it may be 8 a.m. Or 8 a.m. But we've got ministry. And parents, I'd like to think that you're thinking that your parenting is ministry. It is ministry. And I know Paul Tripp would like to see it that way. But I think for us to understand this, it is ministry. And if I could, and quite frankly, we'll go with that. A good portion of this class is that, let's just kind of work with this concept a little bit. Tripp says it's one of the most significant callings that could ever be laid in the lap of a human being. God asked parents to be his agents on hand for the forming of a human soul. For the forming of a human soul. How's that make you feel? Thoughts? Go ahead, Derek. Thoughts?
I can't put together my thoughts on it. I have some, but I disturb.
Yeah.
I think that you can't. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Right. I
can't. You can't do it by yourself. Uh-uh. And we'll talk about that.
She just said terrifying, right?
That is heavy stuff.
And as you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I don't get to it, the last thing I was going to leave with today, I want to just the Great Commission finishes with the words, I'll be with you. Yeah, I'll be with you. Keep that before you too when you think about the heaviness. That is heavy stuff. And so anyway, I saw this just 2 days ago. Maybe some of you did too. This guy is, anybody know who that is? It's the Secretary of Transportation, isn't it? John Duffy. I just looked today, they've got 9 kids. His wife was on TV this morning, anchor for Fox on weekends. But he evidently got interviewed in the last few days, and here's what the headline said. My job is to get my daughter into heaven, not Harvard. I will never apologize for wanting to protect her soul. It sounds like he was pretty well challenged with this, as you can well guess, by the world and some people of the world. But I had to appreciate that. And we'll talk more about some of this stuff in a little bit, but I just wanted to bring that at you. More personal level, God loves our children, and because he does, he has placed them in a family of faith, your family, so you can be his tool of convicting, forgiving, and transforming grace. Thanks, Lord, huh? Thanks, Lord, that my Nick was not put in some other family. Did he just say amen? I think so. But I'm grateful that Nick was in her family, quite frankly. And our other two kids too, but God has put them in your family. And I don't want that to be too heavy again, but in this, everything we do say and make choices about and decide to invest in relative to parenting as well as other things is reflecting what we value at the heart level. God obviously puts a high value on parenthood. He puts high value on parenthood.
I think that's because I feel like the more in-depth I got, that I get as a parent, the more I understand, like the prodigal son didn't quite hit until I was a parent. You know, there are many, like, allegories and stories that don't quite hit until you're in the shoes of the parent, and if God is our father, then you're like, okay, now it makes sense why you give us this grace on this, because yeah. I too am a parent.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I think once you're a parent, you can understand a little bit more, can't you? I was just, as you mentioned that, I'm thinking it was like 2 days ago, I'm at a funeral 2 or 3 days ago, and talking about Teresa's father was my superintendent when I first got started. And I asked him after we got married or sometime in there, or maybe he just offered the complaints he would get about me as a coach. And I felt vulnerable, or tell me what you heard. And he said, well, the biggest complaint is their kids never got home for dinner. And varsity kids, they wanted to stay around and play horse with me. I'm a young guy. I'm not married. And I don't even know Teresa at the time. And I could shoot baskets all night long. There's some of those kids that if I run into them from now on, I tell them they still owe me sodas. You know, play for a soda, double or nothing. You know, I'm owed sodas. Now, they could get them back right now if they wanted to. But I didn't understand that. Really, he said it. Well, I still, but as a parent, you do. The value of having those kids home around the table. Talking about practical stuff. But that's a great, great point. It's a great, great point. But anyway, how do we value that is a rhetorical question. And we all live in pursuit of what we've named as important, other important things that might compete with parenthood. These are just three things. These are just three things to think about. Here we go. And you say, well, nothing's going to compete. I'm convicted by this stuff. Even as a grandparent, possessions can create all kinds of dysfunction. I would say, surely not, Scott. That would never happen to you. We're called to provide for our kids, aren't we? But where can it get to be where it becomes a ruling thing, as a good biblical counselor would say? But I got upset at my 2-year-old granddaughter the other day. I kept it in here, but for at least a few seconds, I was upset that she got marker on her new carpet. I didn't even confess that to Teresa till today. But there was a few seconds there. I'm glad that dysfunction didn't manifest itself out, but again, my heart was convicted. And, we talk about He loves us that much. He loves our kids more than we do. And if you don't believe that, God's definition of love is in 1 Corinthians 13, isn't it? And it says, love is what?
Patient.
Kind. Is his love more patient than me? Yeah. He loves him more than I do. I need help. We need help, Mike is right. But we've got help. We got help. And, you know, if you want to confess, it's a good time. If you want to talk, but how might that happen is a question. Does it happen? Early on in our, I think it was even before we got married, I was talking to a father. I was talking about his backyard, and it was a mess. They played in their backyard. It was never going to be a pristine backyard. Maybe you like a pristine backyard, but it was going to be a mess. There's a yard on Allentown Road. It's got a baseball field. I used to define yards by, baseball field fit here. That's why we bought our house, wasn't it? It had a big backyard. It was only a flat yard in Heritage Lake. So I can play in there. But just on a practical level, just question a little bit about some of those things. But anyway, how about this? Does this compete? Well, why by our Creator with a desire to succeed? But like possessions, a good thing can become a bad thing. It becomes a ruling thing, right? That it was never meant to be. And with our coaches, we talk about, are you ambitious for what God's ambitious about and for? And how about this? Who's that guy?
William Carey. Is that William Carey?
No.
That's where I know that quote from, I feel like. Who is it?
I first heard it from my boss down in Springfield, state director, a few years ago. But I came to find out this guy's the creator of that verse. At least I understand. Maybe it was William Carey and this guy got it from him, but his name is Dwight Moody. An interesting quote. Again, one I share with coaches and I share with you. I am afraid of being successful at things that don't really matter. Anyway, just some thoughts and just to get us thinking. How has the value of career success impacted you? How could it impact you? Thoughts on that?
The amount of time it takes.
Yeah. So it does take time, doesn't it? And we're called to provide. But time is, and how much time do I spend? And how much time do I spend just making my boss or someone else think, wow, he's a hard worker? And that theologian Bobby Knight years ago, some of you may know that name. He was not a theologian. He's a coach at Indiana. He was pretty rugged, very rugged. Would say, I'm more concerned about the coach that doesn't spend a lot of time but still has success. Because I think a lot of times we just do things to believe that, convince ourselves how hard we work and so forth. And I just have to manage that and be aware of that, because my kids need time. My wife needs time, then balancing that time. How about this one? You may not like this one. So I know some of you are highly involved with ministry. And how's that compete? Paul Tripp says, there are many, many parents who ease their guilty conscience about their inattention and absence by telling themselves that they are doing the Lord's work. Kids then wondering if Jesus took their mom and dad from them. And I know there's some in here that do a lot of ministry, and I appreciate that so much. You minister to me. And I minister to so many. But my first ministry is to my family, isn't it? I think there's ways. I talked to Denny here the other night about this a little bit. And he said what he got used to doing is bringing his kids with him to some of that ministry stuff. And probably some of you, if you're not involved in children's ministry, kids, I know some of you are, you might consider that. Among other things, that's why Teresa and I led Sparkies for how many years?
At least 10.
And I'll tell you what, after teaching all day, practice, 6 o'clock, but I don't think I ever walked out of here without feeling like the Lord was pleased with me, but it's just something to think about, and I think there's a lot of value for them seeing you minister, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, any thoughts on that, Mike, or that?
I think it is, there's obviously balance in it.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about that. The passages where it talks about the qualifications of leaders in a church, it always talks about not just their family life. There's always references to that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work the other way, right? The qualification for parenthood is not the true marriage.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And that is that. I don't know if I put that on there, but another part that our authors would amen on that as well is that we're called a manager before we're. But there's going to be some sacrifice. There's no doubt about it. You missed a cross-country meet yesterday, didn't you? And so just again, what's ruling us, I think that word rule always comes into mind when I'm thinking about these. But how about this? Church doesn't replace you, but assists and equips you for this work. Government doesn't replace you. Government's in this world, ordained in this world for protecting you. Unfortunately, it does gotten to the point where it's trying to do a whole lot more other things too. School doesn't replace you, but supports you, and maybe you're homeschooler, but the school, this is your job. It's interesting, I would joke with, and some of you may remember the name Phil Shields back in the day. I think when my oldest first got into youth group, I joked with Phil. I said, you know, he's kind of yours now. My hands are off. He's all yours. And but it is interesting. I had a parent at a parent-teacher conference with a freshman student, a boy of hers, that said, well, it's kind of up to the schools to take, you know, taking from here. And she was serious. And I just opened my eyes. DMAC had some great teachers. And my kids had some great godly teachers, but that's not their job, is to support. I would say this, that as far as equipping you, work with the youth pastor, with our pastors, with the youth workers over there, and I think that's huge. We did. I know Mike did, and appreciate those folks so much to come alongside. And at school, too, if you're in public school, get to know those teachers, coaches, and I've had a lot of those that maybe they're hearing it from a different direction, and, you know, particularly as you get into teenagers and so forth. But even before that, and you guys know this, but bottom line, God has met you so that you would be ready to introduce His glory and grace to your children every day is filled with the opportunity to point to God. So capture those opportunities. And most of you guys well know, gals well know, it's a day-to-day thing. It's the little things. One of the authors mentioned this. I thought this was interesting. If you're having a hard time pointing to God today about something, look up. I mean, I'm going to fly in that stuff tonight. If that doesn't, this is amazing. Getting a plane off the ground is still amazing to me. How's that happen? That he's put people in the world with these. But then, there's something that we can do every day. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9, we'll look at later. What is it? When you're sitting down, when you're walking, when you're laying down, rising. I mean, that's about all day looking for those things. We were at a meeting the other day, and Jamar Williams brought this verse to us. It's actually one that I just sent out to coaches that I pray for on a red here the other day before they got started with school. What an opportunity! I want to show you this quick video. Do I have it here? Yeah. This is actually the end of a coach's video that I show to coaches from FCA. And I'm sorry if I'm bringing too much FCA in for you. But place parenting in the spot of the coach. So there's just a short, less than a minute clip here. And here we go.
Not just a coach who calls himself a Christian, but a Christian coach. Not a coach who believes that they're coaching in order that they might become a legend, but that they might leave a legacy. And that legacy is found and woven into the fabric of their players and the community that they serve.
We may not win another football game. And you know what? I don't care. Because the 50 or 60 we got, they gonna live forever.
They're gonna live forever. Somewhere. And again, I don't know. I know that's heavy stuff. They're heavy stuff, and if you're not already praying for their salvation, that's been a big point part for us in the last months here, that we're praying for a grandkid's salvation right now. Pray for their spouses as well, but pray, because it is heavy stuff that you're not going to do on your own, but anyway.
The video kind of reminds me, I recently saw the League World Series going on. I think one of the coaches said, you know, we could win this game, we could lose this game, we could win the next five or lose the next five. But at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is still Lord. Mm-hmm. And they made a big deal about it.
Yeah. That allows kids to go play free.
Yeah.
And that's a great, bring that back here. We'll get into some of that. And you know, that's huge in parenting. There's a lot of kids out there just have so much pressure on them to perform. And you may not put it on them, but the people out here might. But it's a great, great point. Lastly, we won't spend a lot of time on this, but God will use parenthood to grow parents. When he speaks of all things here, he's talking about your kids too. I just talked about my heart was exposed with my lack of patience here the other day. And he'll do that. He'll do that. And he's good to do that. I need that. And God is working through your children to you so that he can work through you for your children. Think about that. That may take a while for me to sink in, but he's going to work through you from your children. So then you in turn, hopefully I'm going back down to Austin. Hopefully I'll be a little more patient with the little man who I absolutely adore and love. I mean, his middle name's Scott. But he'll probably need a little discipline too. We're kind of called to take care of two while Mom and Dad are taking care of the little guy. But anyway. Phil Tuttle, who may some of you know, Phil was in our pulpit years ago, probably 8-9 years ago. His son and my son played college baseball together. He's president of Walk Through the Bible Ministries. And Phil said this one time. He said, I heard him speak to the team and a bunch of parents down in Florida at a chapel time. And he said, you know, I love sports. And there's probably a time where I love sports too much. It might have been an idol. I think I got that under control. But he said, I will tell you this. I think sports is the greatest laboratory for the Christian life that there is. It might be. I don't know. He's going to use all things. But I will tell you, parenthood's not far behind if it's not above that. He's going to use our parenting to grow us. Marriage is too, isn't it? Yeah. We want to enjoy our wives. We want to enjoy our kids. But God's going to use them too. He has mine. But any more thoughts, folks? Got a good start here, I think, and kind of get an idea of where we're going. Yeah. Well, I like to sometimes finish with a song. If you've been in a class of mine, we did this a lot with the suffering class we just finished last quarter. And I don't know, there's a lot of good songs out there as we wind down. Let's go right here. You're probably familiar with this song.
So we won.
The Supreme Court just dropped their decision.
As we shut down here we go. And if you need to get going early, guys, I know you got some kids to pick up. You know this song?
Here's to you. You appear.
Kind of remind me, I need to slow down a little bit.
Everything I want. Here's to you. Never sleeping through from midnight till the morning. Had to crawl before you loved, before you ran, before I knew it. You were trying to free your fingers from my hand, cause you could do it on your own now. Somehow, slow down, won't you stay here a minute more? I know you wanna walk through the door, but it's on too. Let's make it last a little while. I pointed to the sky, and now you wanna fly. I am your biggest fan. I hope you know I am. But do you think you can survive? Slow down. To you, every missing tooth, every bedtime story. Here's to Barbie cars, lightsaber wars, sleeping in on Sunday.
Well, you can finish that one on your own, on the way home or something. But you ever putting your kid to bed and wish he'd hurry up and fall asleep? You've been there, and maybe I should have asked him to slow down and fall asleep. And maybe I need to slow down a little bit. But anyway, this gets you thinking a little bit. Gets me thinking a little bit. But anyway, Mike, you want to pray us out here, brother?
I was so grateful that you are a great God. That you are sovereign, that you hold all things in your hands. We just want to sit here and think about parenting, about our kids, about a leader that is impossibly heavy. So we're so grateful that you come to us with the truth that you've never left us alone. You placed the kids in our family and that you would have there. We have no control over that. You did it. You placed them there. You saved us. You saved our souls. You promised to sanctify us. You promised to give us the strength to give us the the wisdom to raise them, be without bumps and bruises, but we're always there. And so I pray that you help each of us to leave here encouraged and acknowledge that parenting is an impossible task without you. But we don't have to acknowledge you. You walk with us every step. So we look forward to this coming weeks as we think about the ways that we can understand the scripture and bring them to bear on our families. We can grow in understanding our kids, in understanding our relationship with you, because we understand how things work with our kids. Father, we're so grateful for the gospel that makes all of this possible. It saves us and forgives us of our many sins. Puts us in a place where we can teach our kids about grace and teach them about mercy, because we have experienced the same. Thanks so much for Scott this morning as we're preparing. Thanks for a Sunday. We look forward to another service here coming up. Pray that you would bless him. And ask all that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. All right. Go get those kids.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Take care, buddy. Take care of that little one. And that big one. Number two.
Yeah.
Cool. Enjoy, man. See you guys. Thank you. Good seeing you guys again. Always good.
Good to see you. Have a safe trip.
Slow them down.
Enjoy those grandbabies.
I will. You got her.
Nice work. Sorry it's late. But I was a good example right there of
not knowing how
to do this right. This is where I live.
Popped in at the right time. No, that's Teresa was too. Well, she welcome, but no, thanks for coming, guys. It's like a good group to work with here. And
it's fun. Today. But
I think just sitting here, it's fascinating. We got at least three pregnant moms.
Yeah, I thought, my goodness. So many young kids and more coming. Yeah, you're right. It's just... Yeah.
What time do you try to start?
Well, we got to start a little bit slower today, but 9:35, I'll get rolling with some stuff.
Okay.
And as people come in a little bit later, that's fine too.
Sure.
But probably by the time we got rolling, it was 9:40. I don't know what,
okay,
somewhere in that neighborhood today.
Yeah, that's...
I was meeting and greeting.
I always kind of tend to.
Hi, Brother B. Yeah. Want them to have a little time, too.
To get started.
So. Hi, Brother B. I better shut this off. Bad habit of not doing that.
I'm grateful to the Lord. He gave me good service work to do. Good. And through what I did, I had opportunities to.